Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. It says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I'd like to read a little bit from George Vinn's book, The Gospel in Bonds. It says, "Why have you dedicated your life to propagandizing religion? Look where that got you. You're a prisoner, not just an ordinary prisoner, but one disgraced with a red stripe. At the rate you're going, you'll never be free again. Make your choice, either God or freedom." And on it went. He had many such discussions with me in the evenings after work. I realized it was useless to try to explain things to him. Every time I started to say something, he would interrupt, ridiculing what I hold sacred. "I don't believe you, and I don't believe in your God. There's no way out of this camp for you," he repeated. Those were very hard times, and my heart cried out to God. Bible verses kept coming to my memory. Then I'm going to skip ahead here. One cold winter night, the head prisoner in our barracks woke me from a deep sleep. "Hurry," he whispered urgently. "Get up. The duty officer is calling you to the control point." "What happened?" I asked, suddenly alert. "I don't know. He ordered you to go immediately." I dressed quickly. I noticed that was 1 o'clock in the morning. Outside, a sharp wind drove icy needles of snow into my face and hands. How lonely everything looked. Never had I felt so forlorn, so abandoned in that strange prisoner world. It was as though nothing existed except a desolate camp. Nothing but prisoners and guards, pressure and slavery. Question chased each other through my mind. Why was I called in the middle of the night? What's the rush? Am I being moved to another camp? What awaits me? My tired legs longed to carry me back to the barracks and the relative warmth of my cot. The duty officer and several soldiers were waiting at the control point. I tried to read their faces to see what was happening, but they told me nothing. "Follow me," the tall, heavy-set duty officer nodded toward his office. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The first, I guess, aspect that I would like to look at this passage this evening is the proper view of persecution. How many of you, as I read that tonight, were just wishing that you could be in George Vinn's place? Well, probably none of us. But the Bible says here, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." And it gives a reason. It says, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And see, persecution must be viewed from an eternal perspective. It says, "Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There is an eternal place that they are going to that is completely free from persecution. In fact, it's not just free from persecution, but it's everything positive. It's everything good. It's everything that one could desire that is truly good as defined by God. You know, while the persecutors may have power now, that power is only temporal. And eternity awaits the believer that has been persecuted. There must be a proper view of persecution. It must be something that must be understood by faith. It must be grasped by faith. You know, in the midst of that persecution, it may not seem good. At that point, George Vinn felt alone. It felt like there was nothing else. And he had to what? He had to look to the Lord. And, you know, in his flesh, he probably didn't feel like it. But persecution, it requires a proper view. There is an eternal view that must be grabbed a hold of. But notice what else it says in this passage in verse number 12. It says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." There is an attitude that accompanies persecution. Now, thankfully, in this country, we have not faced the type of persecution that many have faced. But it does say here in verse 11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you." The idea of revile would be to find fault in a way that demeans the other. Revile, mock, heap insults upon as a way of shaming. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You know, if we live godly, righteous lives, there is going to be persecution that you are going to face. And the Bible says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." You know, it might be out on soul winning. You know, somebody doesn't appreciate that you're standing at their door. You know, they may not understand really the significance of you standing there sharing with them the good news of the gospel, of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And you know, maybe you get that door slammed, so to speak, in your face. And you may not feel so encouraged after that takes place. But this verse here can be an encouragement to continue on. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." You know, the apostles, they suffered persecution, and they walked away from that rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. You know, the other night we were out a couple of weeks ago soul winning, and you know, a lady answered the door, and she was fairly, you know, cordial to us. But then after she shut the door, we heard her husband reprimanding her for basically being courteous to us. And why did you have to let him kind of keep talking? And he was kind of not very happy with his wife and that she just kind of let us keep talking. You know, you hear something like that, it's just like, oh, you know, it maybe gets you a little tentative. But when you start thinking, and I think this verse may have even come to my mind at that point, but, you know, we need to have the right attitude when things like that happen. We need to rejoice. You know, it can change our outlook. It can build our faith. You know, instead of getting, you know, that person looks at you at work like, you know, boy, you're kind of weird. Instead of getting ashamed, have the attitude of rejoicing. Maybe that person rejects that gospel tract. You know, instead of giving up, are we rejoicing? You know, when that family member that mocks you, you know that, boy, when you go to their house for maybe a get-together or some sort of family get-together, you know that you're probably going to hear something, especially if you stand up for something that's righteous. What's your response? I'm just going to kind of back into the corner. Or is it rejoice and be exceeding glad? There must be a proper view of persecution. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse number 12. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Boy, rejoice and be exceeding glad, but notice that is, but on your part, he is glorified. You know, when we are persecuted, it might seem like, you know, they're speaking against the name of God. But on your part, when we stand for righteousness, God is glorified. Do you want to glorify God with your life tonight? Don't be ashamed of his cause. Be a light in the dark world in which we lived. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, just shows the right perspective that we need to have. Second Corinthians 4:17, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And here we need to have the right view of this in light of the great glories of heaven that is ahead of us. These things are so small, and this is, you know, the Apostle Paul speaking under the influence of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here. And, you know, think of what the Apostle Paul, all the things that he went through. He went through great suffering. He went through much persecution. And what did he call it? He says, our light affliction. You know, when you begin to think about an eternity, it's an amazing thing. I mean, it's hard to comprehend. Our light affliction, it's but for a moment. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, that pain is temporal. That shame is temporal. That reproach is temporal. We need to have the proper view of persecution. But secondly, tonight I'd like to look at the identification involved in persecution. Notice the identification here involved in persecution. And this is actually my last point, but there are some points underneath this. So it says here in Matthew chapter 5, it says, "Blessed are ye when men," verse 10, "blessed are they which are persecuted for" what? "For righteousness' sake." You know, we ought to be what? Unashamed of your identification with righteousness. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Psalm 23, it says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." In Peter, it talks about being really persecuted for the right kinds of things, not being persecuted for our wrongdoing. You know, maybe at school you think, well, the teacher's picking on me, but you're the one that's misbehaving. You're the one that's doing wrong. That's not being blessed. That's not what the passage is talking about here. This is, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." You have been unashamed. When you identify with Christ, you are identifying with his righteousness. This is the verse we mentioned earlier, 2 Timothy 3:12. That godliness is what? It's going to. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, don't be alarmed that when you seek to live a holy life, you know, Pastor preached on modesty on Sunday night. Don't be alarmed that when you seek to live godly, you seek to dress in a Christ-honoring fashion, that there's going to be people out there that think are going to think you're weird. There are going to be people out there that are going to maybe poke fun at you. You know, don't be ashamed of that. The Bible says, "Blessed, rejoice and be exceeding glad. We need to be unashamed. You need to be unashamed of your identification with Christ. It says in verse number 11, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely." For what? For my sake. All right, we need to be unashamed of our identification with Christ. Over in John chapter 15, it says, "If the world hate you," verse 18, "ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You know, sometimes we need to maybe feel a little uncomfortable if there's no one out there that doesn't like us. Because the Bible says, if ye are of the world would love his own. But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We need to be unashamed of our identification with Christ. We shouldn't be surprised if we're not well accepted. Because Christ has chosen us. And when Christ came into this world, he went to the cross. And the people were crying out, "Crucify him." We must follow. We must daily bear our cross and follow him. But we must also be unashamed of our identification with the people of God. It says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Or at least we need to recognize our identification with the people of God. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know, in this persecution, who are we identifying with? We are identifying with the people of God, with the prophets that went before. Look at what took place with them. Don't be surprised. This is what has taken place. Look at, even since the first godly seed of Abel was on this earth, what took place? Persecution. Even in a what? Right in a family. Are you tonight willing to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to identify with the pathway of righteousness? You know, we made some practical considerations. Your family. Maybe it's out on soul winning. Maybe it's friends. And you know, you just don't want to get that look again from them. Maybe it's the workplace. Do you have the right view of persecution tonight? You know, what we face is so really minuscule in comparison to what others in the past have faced. But the fact is there are still things that we will face in this day and age in which we live. And we need to have the right perspective. I'd like to continue with George Vins. He opened the door. On his desk sat a shortwave radio. I was amazed to hear the melody of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," one of my favorite songs, playing softly. The officer kept the volume low. "Sit down," he invited. I sat close to the radio. "This is a 2-hour broadcast. Do you want to stay and listen?" "Oh, of course. Thank you." I was confused but elated. My weariness had disappeared. "Just don't touch the radio," the officer warned, "and don't move the dial to Voice of America." After he left, I knelt and prayed. That Christian program was exactly what I needed. I thanked the Lord for this special gift. Sermons, Christian songs, hymns, and prayers filled the room. When 1 half-hour program ended, another began. When a preacher prayed, I stood and prayed with him. When the choir sang, I sang along softly. My soul was so hungry for those sermons, full of the testimony of Christ, of his love, his wisdom. Our Lord is truly wonderful. At the most difficult time in my camp life, he got me into that office to hear Christian radio programs. From time to time, the door opened and the duty officer looked in. "How's the reception?" he asked. "Fine, thank you," I'd answer with a smile. I enjoyed 2 hours there before the broadcast ended. 5 minutes later, the officer came in and turned off the radio. You know, what an amazing thing. You know, and then even as he left the barracks, it says, "Christian songs rang in my heart as I walked across the deserted camp zone. Snow was still falling and the north wind was still blowing. But instead of burning my face, the snowflakes swirled lightly on their journey to the ground. They seemed to float in rhythm to the harmony of a great heavenly choir. I had just been at a worship service where the Lord provided wonderful fellowship, encouragement, and comfort." And you know what? An amazing miracle here. You know, do we trust God? You know, God knew exactly what he needed at that time. And you know what? Tonight, God knows exactly what you need as well. But we must take his view on what we are facing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, to be encouraged by the Word of God. Lord, help us not to shrink under, Lord, the speech or the looks or other things that we may face. But Lord, help us to step out in faith. And Lord, not just to bear it, but to rejoice and to be exceeding glad. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified. Lord, we need your strength. We need your grace to accomplish this in our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.